So I want to welcome Gabe Webb up here. He's going to preach tonight. He's an amazing man of God, studier of the Word. Thank you, Gabriel.
Amen. How you guys doing? Well, I'm not used to the... Wow, my shoe is untied on stage. I'm going to humble myself and tie it in front of everybody. It's kind of embarrassing to tie your shoe. Oh, it's not? It's cool? Blood. It's covered by the blood. It's good. Man, I'm excited. Got some new faces here tonight. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. I'm really excited. So, my message? I don't know. The person must have misunderstood me. They came to me asking for the message, like, I don't know, and they ran away, and they're like, but, you know, I'm just kidding. I told them it was, I don't know. So if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, because we take notes here, right? Oh, she's taking notes.
Jesus did.
So if we're taking notes, you did? Let's take notes. I just want to encourage you that tonight's going to go some good places tonight. Our youth pastor isn't here, and as you've heard, our other pastor, Reed Moore, isn't here. Some good things are going on in both of their lives. They're doing some transitions and stuff like that, and they're just unable to make it tonight. So every single person in here tonight is really not getting paid for what we're doing tonight. We're just kind of serving God and seeing what God can do. It's going to be good. So I'm really excited. Both of the words, all three of the words that were given tonight was really good. It was really on topic for what the Lord wants to do tonight. And so let's go ahead and open our Bibles. This wasn't even planned, but 1 Corinthians, this is what Christina read. If you could, go there. I'm reading from a different translation tonight. Actually, the same translation I always read from, the New American Standard. If you're wondering why you're flipping to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you're wondering why I read it, it's because it is a good translation. It's supposed to be the best one to study from. And so, you know, it's got to be good. Oh, and by the way, if you hear me like slurring words and stuff, I'm wearing Invisalign right now, so I'm just getting used to them, and I can't really say my F's, so. No, that's good. You can laugh. We got to laugh to have fun. It's okay to laugh. You can laugh. You can laugh, too. That's crazy. That's just weird. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. This is what it says. This is Paul. He's writing to Corinth. He's talking to them about how he came to them when he came to them in person. He said, "When I came to you, brethren," or everybody, people, "I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." What he's saying is, I didn't pretend to know anything, or I didn't know anything except Christ. This word "know" is the word, it means to know intimately. In the Greek, it means to know intimately, to know somebody like a husband would know his wife. So what he's saying is that I didn't come to you out of knowing all these things. I came to you in knowing Christ. And he goes on in verse 3, "I was with you in weakness and in my preaching," in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on wisdom, but on the power of God." Goes on in verse 6, "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the age to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it," what he's saying is these Pharisees, if they would have understood the wisdom that Christ has, the hidden wisdom, the wisdom that's been hidden since the foundation of the earth, if they would have understood that wisdom, they wouldn't have crucified Christ. If they would have understood that it's not about knowing about the Scriptures, but it's about knowing God. Does that make sense? It's not about knowing about, it's about intimately knowing Jesus Christ the Savior. He says if they would have known that, they wouldn't have crucified Him. "But it is just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard," the things that are hidden, right? "And which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him." God's talking about the hidden things of the kingdom. Paul is saying, look, I didn't come to you with wisdom. I didn't come to you with knowing about everything. Now, if you understand who Paul is he's a Pharisee of Pharisees. If you look in the book of Philippians, he talks about who he is in chapter 2. I think so. Doesn't really matter. But in one of his epistles, he talks about who he is. He says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrew. I'm born of the tribe of Benjamin. In other words, it doesn't matter what he said, but what he's saying is he's saying, look, I'm the best Jew there is, basically. I know about every single thing you can think of. You want to boast about knowing things? I've known more than anybody. I've done it all. He was like the leading dude. God knew what he was doing when he picked this guy because he knew the scriptures inside and out. But see, people don't know that Paul went away for like 12 to 14 years away by himself to get to know God intimately. Because knowing about God isn't enough. Does that make sense? So when he comes to Corinth and he comes to him, he says, look, I didn't come to you, Corinth, knowing and preaching wisdom and human wisdom. I came to you in knowing Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's where the power lies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, we don't really know what you're going to do, but God, we know you want to do something good. So God, we trust in you. God, I trust in you. God, I ask that you would have your way tonight. Let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. Have your way tonight, Lord. I'm asking that you would speak to the hearts of everyone in here. God, that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word. God, we wouldn't be those who just study your word. But God, we would be those who do your word, who live out your word, who practice your truth, like Jesus says in John. That we would be those who practice your word and not just try and find eternal life and knowing about your word. Have your way tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Look to the person next to you and say, I don't know. You guys can get closer together if you want. It might be. Are you scared? Oh, she likes her personal space. I didn't mean to like interrupt you. Look at him again and say, look, I don't know. Like it's like act like they just ask you a question and be like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. We're kind of in a series right now. Before I get there, I feel like I'm supposed to share a little bit of my testimony. I don't know why, but look, I think there's some people in here tonight who don't really, really believe. And if you hear anything tonight, just hear this. I know there's people in here tonight who don't believe. And the reason why they don't believe is because they don't know who he is. When I grew up, I was a good sinner. In other words, I knew how to sin. I mean, if you're going to sin, you might as well do it like crazy. Because don't try and be half-hearted. If you're going to do it, do it. If you're not going to do it, then follow God and don't do both. Does that make sense? Yeah. So anyway, I was sinning. At age 13, smoking, drinking, partying. I got this bunch of horrible... Before I was even in ninth grade, I was just filling myself with the things of this world. And 14 sexual things and so on and so forth. I was deceived. I was always angry. I was always upset with people. I was so insecure. I didn't know who I was. I was just upset all the time. I always think about killing people. And I was just lost. Well, the first time I came to a church meeting, probably my whole life, I felt the presence of God. I heard Him speak to me. And I gave my life to Him. In that very instance, I was transformed from the inside out. I heard a voice and I answered, and I'm not the same. Now, you can argue the scriptures with me all you want. And you can say that this isn't true, or this is just a mystery, or this is just whatever you want to think it is. You can say all you want. I thought the same thing. But it wasn't until I met and encountered Christ that I changed. I'm not the same anymore. As a matter of fact, if you would have met me 4 years ago, you would have been like, this isn't the same guy as he is today. As a matter of fact, people I have met go, you're not even who you are. I look at you and you're just different. Something about you, you just glow, you just shine. Because I've given up my old life because I encountered the truth. I didn't find my life in the things that I knew about. I put those things aside and I found my life in Christ. And tonight I'm coming to you out of that. And every time I minister and every time I hang out with people, I come to people not in what I know about, but who I know. It's so easy that when we get in group settings that people sit there and I have no problem with people saying, "Amen, go brother," and they're kind of nodding their head like, yeah. You know, I have no problem with that. I understand that there's a responding to the message, and I hope that we do. But it is easy that when we get in group settings that people start getting this attitude like, yeah, you tell them. Right. That person needs it more than me. Shoot. Man, that guy. I mean, it's like Luke chapter 18 with a guy, right? The two guys who go to pray in the temple. The first guy goes, "Lord, thank you that I'm not like him over there." And then the other guy is in the back of the room. He's like, "Lord, I'm not even worthy to come to the front." Who are you tonight? More than that, who are you every night? Are you the guy that sits over there and goes, "Lord, I already got it all figured out. I'm good, Lord. Help him over there. I mean, this is a good word, Lord, but man, Joey, no offense. But so-and-so, they need it, Lord. Oh, and you just start praying, "Lord, have your way with this man over here." Or, "Man, this one's been sinning like crazy. Just pour out your spirit on this one." And the whole time, this guy's going, "Take the log out of your own eye." Like, I'm just being honest. This is a thing that I've seen for a while and in myself that I've had to take care of. And it's not one of those things that we just see. It's something that kind of is hidden and we don't really recognize at first. We need somebody to tell us, "Hey, you know what, bro? There's a log in your eye. You need to get it out so you can actually see." I don't want to be the person that's always pointing and saying that one needs it. I want to be the person that's like, "Lord, I'm not even worthy. Will you do something to me? Will you change me? I got this speck in my eye. Come and fix me." We're wholly discontent. We're never content with who we are. We're never content with where we are. We're always holding on to the truth, and we're always pressing on to who God is and not what His Word talks about Him, but who He is in person, not just in word and deed. Does that make sense? And eternal life is found in knowing Christ, not knowing about Him, not in wisdom of men, but in wisdom of God. When Jesus stepped into the earth, there was a spirit of pride, if you will. There was a spirit of pride, a spirit of, "I already know." Every Pharisee, for the most part, was his attitude or her attitude, his attitude was, "I got it all figured out." Now, if you know the background of a Pharisee was somebody who knew the Scriptures. Their whole life, from the birth, they were trained to know every Scripture, to know the Word inside and out, to know it like the back of their hand. They would become one with the Scripture. At age 5, they'd be taking tests. At age 10, they'd be taking tests. At age 16, they would be, if they made it, they would go on and become Pharisees, or they would become discipled by a Pharisee, and that Pharisee would put their yoke, or they would disciple them to be a Pharisee, and they would give them everything they had. This was the life of a Jew. They were raised to know the Scripture. So when they got older, their ideas, when they became a Pharisee, their idea is, "Look, now I've made it, I got it all figured out, I'm good." It's almost like the idea of the parallel is like people today in the church who've been raised in the church, born in the church, and they get to church and they go, "I already got it, I'm good. I already got it, man. That's a good word, brother. I already got it." Really? We're going to get a little bit deeper in that tonight and talk about the heart of those people and then the heart of Nicodemus and see the difference. We're in a series about the no-namers in the Bible. And tonight I'm going to take something out of the story of Nicodemus and Jesus in John 3, and I'm going to show you the heart of Nicodemus, a Pharisee, someone who knew the Word. And I'm going to show you what we can learn from him. Does that sound good? I'm excited. Look, we let's hold our heads high. Look, if your friend's talking to you, tell him stop talking to me. Can you do that? Just hit him. Hey, right now, just hit him. Say, "Stop talking to me. God's trying to talk to me." Everybody does do that. Can we do that together? Look, "Stop talking to me. God's trying to talk to me." Don't let tonight go by without hearing a word. Don't let tonight go by saying, "Brother, I already know it all." Sister, I already got it figured out. I'm already good. Don't let tonight go by like that, okay? So here it is, the background. Pharisees, they knew it all. A Pharisee knew the Word. Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 39, He says that you search the Scriptures, for in them you seek eternal life. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But He says that you search the Scriptures, you read the Scriptures, you study the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. A Pharisee, in essence, was somebody who thought that they were good. They knew it all. They were raised in the church, if you want. They were raised knowing everything. Or at least they thought they knew everything. That was a Pharisee. They knew it all. Talking about knowing, Isaiah 42:16, we'll be reading this and studying this a lot, you can put it in your notes, says, it's Isaiah, he's prophesying of the coming Christ. And this is what God says. He says, I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them. What's God saying? He's saying, the things they don't know, since they try and find eternal life in knowing and in knowing about things, I'm going to go to the things they don't know. And in those things, I'm going to lead them. So we have these Pharisees who think they know everything. Isaiah 9:2. You can go there if you like to. It says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. John chapter 1, it says that Jesus is the light of the world. Verse 3, John 1:3 says that in Him, in the light, was the life of men. In the light of the world, Jesus steps into a dark land. If you could imagine, God's talking about in verse 42, chapter 42:16, I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them. Other translations talk about it being a dark land. So if you could imagine at this time, when Jesus comes into the earth, there's a dark land. People are blind. Jesus says in Matthew 23 that the blind are leading the blind. Talking about the Pharisees. You're blind. You don't know where you're going. You're leading everybody else to a place they don't even know where they're going. And so here comes Jesus, the light of the world, right? John 1 talks about Him being the light of the world. 1 John 1, verse 5, says that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. And so here we are. God, in human form, steps into the earth as a light of the world. So if you could picture with me just darkness, if you could imagine standing in a room of darkness, and in walks light. In walks light. Now don't imagine that the whole place is filled with light. But imagine that there is light in the dark place. And everybody's walking around the darkness, leading each other in the dark place. And in that darkness is, I got it all figured out. I'm good, bro. Hey, come to me. I already know the Scriptures. Jesus steps into the earth. John 5, go there. 39, it says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, Jesus says. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. What is he saying? He's saying that in the Scriptures, you think you have life. You think that by knowing everything, you have life. But you're unwilling, or you're too prideful to come to me to receive life. Your pride is keeping you from coming to me to receive life. Jesus says, I am the light. And that light was the life of men. Are you getting a picture in your mind right now? We have a dark land. Darkness, light, comes in here. Right? In the light, there's life. But in the dark, there's just sin. So if coming to Jesus and knowing Him is life, then the dark would simply be not going to Him, not humbling yourself, not saying that you got to figure it out. Coming to the light is saying, I don't got to figure it out. I need help. John chapter 9. I would encourage you tonight, if you go home and you just want to read some scripture, read the book of John, chapter 9, and just picture this with me. But go to John chapter 9, verse 35, and I'm going to talk about the whole story from 1 to 34 real quick, because of time. We don't really have time to go into that. But verses 1 through 34, what happens is this man born blind from birth, basically, Jesus heals him. He gets healed. And so he freaks out and he's all excited and he goes and Pharisees hear about it and the Pharisees talk amongst each other and they're like, man, how can this be? He's a sinner. And there's a division amongst them each other because they're saying he's a sinner. There's no way he can do this. This is wrong. He healed on the Sabbath because it was a Sabbath day. And so they're getting all upset. They're freaking out. And so basically they go to Jesus. They don't go to Jesus. They go to the guy and they ask the guy, what happened? How did this happen? The guy is basically, he's like, I don't know. All I know is that he applied clay to my eyes and I washed and now I see. And they're like, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. And they go on and they argue and the Bible says, but there was a division amongst them and how can a man who is a sinner perform miracles? And anyway, so between the two Pharisee divisions, there's a division amongst them because some people are like, dude, this guy can't be a sinner. They're healing each other. I mean, something's going on. So they're going back and forth, and the Bible says the Pharisees still didn't believe, so they go and ask the parents of this blind man. They're like, look, was your son born blind? They're like, yeah, he was born blind. Well, how did he heal? They're like, well, I don't know. They actually told him, I don't know, because they didn't want the Jews to get mad at them, because whoever believed in Christ, they would like throw out of the synagogue and stuff like that. It actually says that. And so they go, I don't know. All I know is that he was born blind, and now he sees. That's all we know. And so go ask him. He's old enough to talk. So it goes on in verse... It goes on in verse 30, 24, he comes to him again. And this is where I really want you to start reading. Let's listen to this. Your guys' translation is going to say a little different, but I want you to listen to what the Pharisees are saying. Not in their very word, but I want you to listen to their attitude. So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. First thing they say to this guy, we know. 25, he then answered, whether he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know is that though I was blind, now I see. So I said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I told you already. And you did not listen. Can't you hear the Pharisees are like not believing, they're not wanting to believe, they're not wanting to come to the truth that Jesus healed this guy? I told you already, you did not want to listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you not want to come to the disciples too, do you? They reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. Once again, saying again, look, we're disciples of Moses. In other words, we got to figure it out. You're nothing, man. You're a disciple of this sinner, is what he's saying. You're going to be a disciple of this Jesus, a sinner. We're disciples of Moses. And this time, Moses was like their dude. They basically... worship this guy. He's basically like one of their idols, Moses in the Old Testament, right? So he goes on. Well, here's an amazing thing. That you don't know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. Right here we see that here's an amazing thing. You do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. He opened the man's eyes in a place where the Pharisees didn't know. Is it making sense? Stay with me. This is going to make sense. It's all going to come together here in a second. Once again, in verse 29, they say, we know that God has spoken to Moses, right? They go on in 35, and it goes on. Sorry, 30. 31. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and is not his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins." This is the Pharisees again. "And you are teaching us." Can you hear the Pharisees again? "You're born in sin, man. And you're trying to tell us this stuff? We already know this. Get out of here." And they kick him out. Over and over and over again. The heart of the Pharisee is, "I know." Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see. And those who see may become blind." And this is it. This is the catchphrase, and this is where it comes together. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said, "We are not blind too, are we?" I mean, so you can just hear it. These Pharisees are like, "We got it figured out." And they come to Jesus and they're like, "We're not blind too, are we? I mean, we got it figured out like you, right? I mean, we're good." What does Jesus say? I love his answer. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." It's because you say, "I know, I know, I know," your sin remains. It's because you found your life and "I know." You found your identity and "I know. I see it already. I see." Jesus is saying, it's because you find your identity in that that your sin remains. It's because you find your identity in that you are blind. Because you say, "I know," you are blind. But if you would have said, "I am blind," then you would really see. What's he saying? He's saying, look, if you recognize that you're blind, then you see. You see that you're blind and that you're in need of somebody to heal you from being blind. But if you say, "I see," then you're saying, "I don't see," or "I see, I'm good. I don't need healing." Jesus says in Mark 2, "It's for the sick I came into the world. Not for the healthy, not for the righteous. I came for the sick." But wait a second, I thought everybody was a sinner. Right. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying that everybody is sick. Everybody's in need. But I came for those who say, "I need somebody. I'm sick. Help me." This is when the guys lowered a man through the roof, desperate to be healed. And that's when he stood up and walked out of the place. And the Pharisees rebuked Jesus and get all mad at Jesus because he forgave them their sin. And he's like, "Look, man. Look, Pharisees, you hypocrites. I came for the sick. I came for those who go, 'I can't see.' I came for those who know that they're in need. I came for those who say, 'I can't see. I'm in need of my eyes to be opened.' It's because you say, 'I see,' that you are blind." Is this making sense? So how does this fit with Nicodemus? Nicodemus, John chapter 3. We'll go ahead and open up there. We're going to start reading in there. It says, "There was a man named Nicodemus." Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Nicodemus means conqueror of the people. A ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, so we'll stop it by night. Okay? There's some of us in here who have read this story and have been like, okay, I already got this figured out. Okay, this is exactly what I'm preaching against. Don't say, "I already got this figured out." Just stop and read this thing again with me and go, okay, what's this saying? What's the scripture saying? Because I studied the scripture for the past two months trying to figure out what this is and why Jesus said what he said. And now it actually makes complete sense to me. And I'm like, oh, this is why he started talking about being born again and stuff like that. This is why. Okay? Jesus is saying that, or the Bible's saying that, he came by night. He's no different than any of us. Every single one of us lives in a dark land. Every single one of us is coming by night. Every single one of us lives in darkness all around us. Every single one of us comes by night. That's how we were saved. That's how we were able to see, is because we came to the light. He came by night. To who? Who did he come to? Who did he come to? Who is Jesus? The light. A man comes by night to the light, capital L-I-G-H-T, of the world. Walking in a dark land, of a land that said, I already know. A Pharisee who said, I already know it all. Somebody who, in his heart of hearts, or the idea of being a Pharisee, in the heart of a Pharisee was, I know. That was the culture, that was the identity of a Pharisee, was, I know. And here is a Pharisee who's coming out of that dark place, coming to the light, saying, I don't know. Coming to the light saying, I don't see. And how do I get that? Well, let's read it. Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. There's no question there. He didn't ask a question. But there's something in his heart that Jesus sees, and this is what he said. Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's going, look, Nicodemus, the reason why you can't see, because you're not born again. The reason why you don't understand what I'm doing is because you're not born again. You haven't had a new birth. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Asking a question, how does this work, Jesus? I got to be born again? That's weird. That's sick. I'm not going to my mother's womb. Jesus is like, dude, are you serious? He's like, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he can enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Look, what he's saying is, look, Nicodemus, you're born of the flesh already. Your flesh is a Jew. And the Jews say, I'm saved because I'm born a Jew. So Jesus is saying, look, because you're born of the flesh, that's just flesh. That's not going to get you eternal life. What's going to get you eternal life is being born in your spirit, where you can see. Now this is all just back stuff. This is not what I'm getting to. But what he's saying is that, look, Nicodemus, your flesh is a Pharisee. Your flesh is, I know, I know, I know, I know. But you need to be born of the Spirit. And he goes on, he talks about, I told you earlier things, do not believe. Because then he says, how can these things be? He asks them again, wondering, how can this be? How does this work? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it goes on and on. And it talks about verse 19. This is the judgment. But the light has come into the world. And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, capital L-I-G-H-T, which is Jesus. He's saying, for everyone who does evil hates me and does not come to me for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to me so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Nicodemus came to Jesus. What Jesus is saying is, Nicodemus, you've come to the light. You've come to the light. Nicodemus, later on, chapter 7, verse 50, he stands for the Pharisees, and he goes, look, we can't judge this man. Our law doesn't say you can judge him unless you have a reason to judge him. And he basically is sticking up for Jesus. And later on in chapter 19, the Bible says that he goes and he helps bury Christ. Now, we got to understand that a lot of us in here think, well, the reason why Nicodemus came to Jesus is because he's afraid of everybody seeing him. I don't know. As a matter of fact, I don't think that's true. I think the reason why he came to Jesus is because he recognized he couldn't see. And the only thing he could see was the light that shone in the darkness. Nicodemus was a man of his generation. Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees, of a world, of a region that said, I know already. I already know. A Pharisee who knew the Scriptures. In the dark. And this man humbles himself and comes to the light and says, I don't know. Open my eyes. I want to see. I want to see. Can't you hear him crying out? I want to see. You can't see unless you're born again. I have to be lifted up. Then you can be born again. Where's Nicodemus when Jesus is lifted up? He's right there, and right after he dies, he goes and helps bury him, indicating this man believed. And in this time, this was the time of the Pentecost and time of the Passover and time of all these things where all the Jews around the whole world were there when Jesus was slain on the cross. This was all set up. And so you have Nicodemus walking through the city where everybody's around, carrying the body of Christ to bury him in a fitful manner, in a manner that it was right for him to be buried. Carrying him in the light of everybody, showing, look, this was the Christ. We live in a generation today that says, I know. You know, I really believe that if every single person in this world just basically was like, you know what? I don't know. And they started looking, they would come to the light and they would find Jesus. But the reason why today man hasn't been saved, and why people, millions of people all over the world are dying and going to hell, is simply because they walk in the dark and they say, I already see. I already know. Because being blind is saying, we see. But when you say, I don't see, that's when you come to the life. Look, this is why the Bible says it. God gives grace to the humble. That's why the Bible says that you're saved when you humble yourself. That's why salvation isn't in knowing everything. Salvation is in, I don't know everything. I need a Savior. I need something. Even today, some of us are like, well, we already see, dude. We're Christians, man. We're born again. I mean, Jesus says that if you're born again, you can see. Look, we see. Okay. Don't go back to the darkness. What does that mean? It means going, I see everything now. I already got it figured out. What does that look like? It looks like maybe somebody younger than you, like a little brother, a little sister, going, hey, look at this scripture, man. Look at this. And you're like, hey, I just preached on that last week, man. Pfft, I already know that junk. Or somebody older than you comes to you and is like, hey, what do you think about this word? Yeah, I just got done studying. I already know the insides and outs of that, man. I was raised in the church. I'm good. You might not say it, but in your hearts you're going, I'm good. I was raised in the church. I've been saved my whole life, man. What is that? That's being blind. That's saying I know, not I don't know. I believe that one of the hardest things for man to say, and I'm not talking about like when you say, hey, let's go, where do we want to go tonight? Everybody's like, I don't know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when somebody comes to you with a challenging thing. Seriously, like it's the worst thing in the world. Everybody's like, hey, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? And we stand out talking for like an hour about where we're going to go after GM, and it's just ridiculous. Just pick a place and go. I mean, seriously. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real humility. Look, I'm talking about humbling ourselves. I'm talking about real transformation only comes in humility. I'm talking about when an older person comes to you and you go to them to be discipled up by them and they're like, you should go meet this person. You should be discipled by this person. You don't go, well, I'm already at their level. Brother, I'm already good. I need a man of God like you. And they're like, what? What's that attitude? I'm talking about a generation of people that go, I'm going to get everything I can get. Because the only reason I can see is because of the light. John 1, 1 John 1, verse 6, 7 or something like that. It says, if you walk in the light as He is in the light,
You will have fellowship with one another. You want to have genuine fellowship with one another? Well, when they come to you to talk to you about a scripture, you don't go, "I know." You go, "Look, bro, you know what? There's some things I know about that, but hey, what can you see that I don't see? Help me out. Let's figure this out." But no, we still walk around going, "I already know. I know. I know." It's because you say, "We see," that your sin remains. There's things in your hearts right now that are hidden that you won't let anybody see. You won't let anybody touch. You won't allow anybody to come and look at, because your heart is, "I know." There's transformation that needs to happen in each one of our hearts, but it's not going to happen until we say, "I don't see. Can you help me? Look, there's a log in my eye, I think. Can you look at it and tell me if this is true?" "Yeah, bro, you're dealing with this. Then can I repent for this? Can I get this out? Because I don't really see." If there's anything that we can learn from Nicodemus, we can learn this. I need the light. Don't sit here tonight and go, "Well, Gabriel, I already see. I'm born again. I see." Because you're blind without the light. You can't see without the light. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. When you're sitting in your family circumstance and you're hanging out with your parents, or maybe you're just hanging out with your friends, and you feel like there's something coming out of you saying, "Hey, repent for this to your brother. Hey, you need to confess this. Hey, you need to forgive this person." And you hear that coming out, you know what's happening? The light is shining on you and exposing who you are. But what man does is, because he's afraid of his deeds being exposed, he turns around and he walks away from the light. This is what it looks like. When we say we know, it's kind of like this. We see the light and we're like, "I know, I know. I already know. And we're constantly doing everything we can to say that, "I know. I don't care if you know." Because as we heard from Christina tonight, salvation isn't knowing about God. It's knowing God. To see is to know Christ intimately. John 8:31, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed. Those Jews who had believed. Those people who had believed. For instance, you could say yourself. Born in the church, born again, saved. You're already good. Jesus is talking to those who had already believed. And he says, "If you continue in my word, then you are true disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." If you continue in my word. Nicodemus was one of those Jews that believed. And Jesus, if you will believe with me, and if you will venture with me, Jesus was continuing that conversation with the Jews that believed. And he's saying, "Look, if you continue in my word, I will make you free. Because you will know the truth." And once again, that word "know" is the word, it's the word gnosko in the Greek. It means to know intimately. To know like a husband knows his wife. It means to encounter the truth. Like Nicodemus came and he encountered the truth at nighttime. And he said, "I need something." It's like in Genesis chapter 32 where Jacob is sitting there and he's running from his brother because he's afraid of all these things, and he's running away and he's doing everything he can to get away from the light. And finally, the Bible says that he puts everything away. And he sits there. The Bible says when he was left alone, he wrestled with a man at night. At nighttime, the man, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the light of the world, came into the world and wrestled with Jacob. And what happens? He encountered the truth. Because he pushed everything away, he stopped running from the light and he said, "I need somebody. I need to be changed." We need to read this. Go to Genesis 32. Gabby. Chapter 32, verse 22. "Now he arose that same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took
them and sent them across the stream. And he sent across whatever he had. Look, guys, look, listen to me real quick. Look, there's transformation that needs to happen in us. Whether you think you're good or you're not, I'm here to tell you, as someone who has been transformed and who is seeking to be transformed every night and every day, but the only way you're going to be transformed is when you come to the light and you're left alone, you push everything else away, and you say, Lord, here I am. Verse 24, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Ooh, can't you see this? At nighttime, he wrestled with him until the light came up. I'm not going to stop wrestling with you until that light comes up. Until I can see. Right now, I don't see. I'm running. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I think my brother's going to kill me because I took his clothes and I pretended to be him. He was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, when he saw that he couldn't do anything about himself, when he saw that in and of himself he couldn't take upon this thing that he was wrestling with, the truth, wrestling with the light, wrestling with who he should be and who he's called to be, wrestling with the life of men, wrestling with God alone, he cut the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not go unless you bless me. You hear this? Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Jesus ends with this. Nicodemus, you've come to the light. He who practices the truth comes to the light. Later on in chapter 8, he goes, continue in my teachings and I will make you free. Humble yourself continually. Coming to the light and saying, I don't know, I need help. If you continue in that and you continually wrestle with the truth, you will encounter the truth and the truth will bless you and make you free so that you can see your sin and you can be delivered and redeemed from that sin. But if we're always saying, I see, I'm good, I've got it all figured out, all you're doing is you're running from the light. What is your name? He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Tell me your name, he said. Why did he ask my name? He blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face. Yet my life has been preserved. Being preserved is seeing the light face to face, wrestling with it until you get that blessing, until he makes you free. Not sets you free, but makes you free. I wasn't set free. I was made a new creation when I came to the light. And as I continually do that, he's going to continually bless me. He's going to continually take me out of that darkness. He's going to continually redeem my sin, as Josh was preaching last week. My message isn't as much about you repenting for things and you coming to the Redeemer and all these things. It's not as much about that. It's about your heart. And where is your heart? Is your heart, I know, or is I don't know? I am who I am today because I said, I don't know. James Phillips is who he is today because he said, I don't know. Billy Graham, he is who he is today because he said, I don't know. The Apostle Paul met the light and he was, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament because he said, I don't know. The only way you're going to be delivered, the only way you're going to be transformed, is if you continually come to your brothers and to your sisters and you continually go to the Lord, I need help. I need help.
We got to have this character. It has to be the very cornerstone of who we are. Look, it's life. It's natural. It's the way God created it to be like this. I'm blind without the light. I can't do it on my own. I didn't come to you with wisdom of men. I came to you with knowing Christ. We got to have this heart. I don't know. I need help. Will you stand with me? I am who I am today because I came to light. This isn't a one-night thing. This isn't a one-night deal where we say, all right, Lord, here I am. But it's an everyday deal where we say, Lord, wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm blind without you. I can't see without you, Lord. Lord, I need you. Can you pray with me? Let's pray. We're going to worship God. Will you just check your hearts with me tonight? And in your heart, will you come to the Lord? And in your heart, will you seek to come to the light daily and humble yourself? Heavenly Father, tonight, God, in and of ourselves, we can't see. God, I'm standing here tonight because in you I see. But without you, I don't see. God, tonight, I'm asking that your light would shine and that men wouldn't run to the darkness, but that men would come to the light and seek out who you are and encounter who you are every morning when they wake up, every day when they're brushing their teeth and when they're driving down the road, that they would encounter you. And that you would make them free. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you've shown on us. And that still tonight, you're desiring to shine. And still tonight, you're desiring to move. Lord, come and have your way amongst us in this place. God, we want to know you more. I don't really feel like I'm supposed to be an altar call or anything like that right now. But I do know this. Will you worship God right now? I know that he wants you to come to him right now. I know that you're feeling convicted right now in your hearts. And there's things that you haven't revealed to me. Because your heart says, I know. With the spirit inside you crying out saying, I don't know, I don't see, I need to be born again. Or I need to let this come out and be revealed to somebody. Will you do that? Will you encounter the truth tonight with me? I want to encounter the truth. Let's do that. Gather.